This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. I'm Christine Wong, and you're listening to Enterprise on BFM 89.9. Crowdfunding is a concept that at first glance seems risky, both from the project creator and project funder's perspectives. But what if, in supporting a project, you were guaranteed an incentive or reward? UMAX is a crowdfunding platform that operates on the philosophy that giving works both ways. And here to speak to us about that concept is founder and CEO Richard Koh. So first of all, welcome to the show.
Hi.
I've heard that this is your first English interview outside of Hong Kong.
It is indeed.
Woo! Awesome. So this is a Malaysian exclusive, I suppose, language-wise. So let's just talk, let's start with the basics and talk about UMAX. So can you give us a brief rundown of what you do?
Absolutely. I started the business by the end of 2015. We started a very small team in Hong Kong. We started in Hong Kong. And actually, after 6 months, we started to expand outside of Hong Kong because of business reason, of course. We then, have a small team in Singapore. And now, after testing a while, we decided to switch to Malaysia. We are a reward-based crowdfunding platform. So basically, it means if someone supports a project in return, they might get some tangible products as a gift of supporting a project. I have always been in the fundraising business, but even before starting UMAX. So crowdfunding is just something that became more popular maybe 5 years ago, six mm-hmm. years ago, when everybody knows about Kickstarter, or somewhat, you must have heard about Kickstarter in GoGo. And that's the time when we started. That was when the time people start to know about crowdfunding. And even some people, honestly, they might be participating in crowdfunding but not knowing that it is a crowdfunding project. A lot of people go into like Kickstarter buying things, not really thinking about crowdfunding. They're just going in and buy things, buy cool products. So yeah, that's my business in a nutshell.
Nice. So as you've also mentioned, so UMAX started in Hong Kong in 2015, but you also operate now in Singapore, Taiwan, the Philippines, and of course Malaysia.
Yep.
So, it was such a short amount of time as well to be able to expand to all of those countries in the space of 2 years. So talk to us about the process of international expansion.
So the first thing is why we expand. A lot of people ask me that. Why should I expand so quickly? Even, to be honest, my Hong Kong business is just on the rise still. We look into the business. We look into the crowdfunding business. We saw when we first started, there were two major players in the industry. I mean, they still are. Kickstarter, Indiegogo. They're the global brand of crowdfunding. But there are actually a lot of local players as well. Even in Hong Kong, Malaysia, Singapore, all countries have the local players. And what we realize is no local player can really, expand outside of their existing business, because crowdfunding is something that you need a crowd, right? If you don't have the crowd, it's never going to be big. And in Southeast Asia in particular, every country, it's very difficult to gather that big of a crowd to support a bigger scale project. So at the very beginning, when we first started in Hong Kong, we already know if we want to, if we want to be different, if we want to just stand out as opposed to other players, we have to expand. We have to be able to tell, our potential customer that we are a global international platform with people around the region.
Right.
So that's always the goal. And then after 6 months, after we started in Hong Kong, we decided, Singapore was the right place for us as a second step. You always have to test a market. So we started a small team in Singapore, trying to really test the market, test the water. Actually, at the end, we don't think Singapore is the right market, just because, first of all, the operating cost was really high, and their market, Singapore market, is actually very similar to Hong Kong in many ways. It's a small population. People are very focused on certain industry. So in that case, the industry is not that diverse. And for crowdfunding to be a fun business, it has to have a diverse, project diversity. So, some ways, somewhat, but Singapore gave us the opportunity to realize that Malaysia could be the next step forward. So in the start of business, that's the fun thing. You just have to do small tests one at a time. That's the same reason why we started Taiwan. I mean, there was an opportunity where we can, engage with some potential project creator in Taiwan. We started, two projects which were very successful. And then, we then have a small team there, low cost.
So essentially your expansion was kind of a trial by error,
yes.
Trial and error or something like that, yes. Kind of process.
Yes, and I think that is the fundamental about a startup business. Mm. I mean, being a startup, you should be nimble, you should be flexible, and you should always just test. Because if you don't test, you don't know what the market needs.
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair. But let's narrow our focus a little bit to Malaysia specifically, right? Because as you've also mentioned, there are quite a lot of crowdfunding websites that are local, mm-hmm. right? You've got like a MyStarter, you've got PitchIn. So when you look at UMAX, what makes that in particular stand out amongst Malaysian crowdfunding platforms?
Yeah. So honestly, the first thing that I would say is UMAX, it's a regional, international platform. And the benefit of that is the project that you submitted to UMAX, you already get an international supporter's background. You can promote it amongst other people. I mean, if you have something that you want to not just promote to your local crowd, you want to tell people outside of your country of what you're doing, what your organization does, UMAX is the right place for you as opposed to others. And of course, we always, when we look at how other people are working with, their crowdfunding business, we find that actually service, the professionalism and the consultancy, it's something that is hugely important to new project creators. A lot of people come in, they might have heard about crowdfunding, the term, but they don't actually know how to run it. Most people don't know how to run it. So we stand out by giving the right service, consultancy, even before they launch the project. Mm. We actually put a huge emphasis in delivering the right consultancy, the right advice to our project creators.
You also have a slightly different crowdfunding model from what I understand as well, right?
Yes.
So UMAX implements what you guys call a two-tier crowdfunding model. So can you elaborate a bit more on what that is?
Sure. So the two-tier crowdfunding model, it's usually with crowdfunding projects, you need to set a funding goal. So you need to tell people how much money you need. So if your project needs, $100,000, then that is your funding target. So UMAX implemented the two-tier crowdfunding model where you can set a minimum target. So if you need, say, $30,000, you can already kickstart your project. You set $30,000 as your minimum target. And once you get past, once your funding amount exceed $30,000, you can already receive the money.
Hmm.
As opposed to others, most other models, you can only receive the money if you reach 100%. So why did we do it? Because when we were evaluating our business before we launch, we find that a lot of project creators don't always need to exceed 100% of their funding amount in order to kickstart a project. Some people can, if they get more money, they scale it up. If they get less money, they scale it down. But the point about crowdfunding or the point about starting something, it's always about kickoff. And we want to make the kickoff process as easy as we can. So, and then we would, brainstorming with our Hong Kong team, and then we came up with the two-tier funding model.
So essentially the two-tier kind of model works in the sense of you are quite literally giving them a kickstart. So not funding the entire project necessarily, but giving them enough of, with that minimum funding kind of barrier, right? Giving them enough that they can actually begin something.
Absolutely.
And then moving on to if they need to expand, and then you hit that maximum target at the end as well.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing is when you give them this flexibility, this actually encourages them to also be very transparent about how to use the money, because they need to now explain why a smaller amount can help you to kickstart the project.
Mm.
Some people were asking me, hey, if it's easier to get the money, does it mean it's a higher risk? I actually think otherwise. I think the ability to give people an easy kickoff way, it's good And it's also encouraging them to be transparent with their budget, be open with how they use the money.
Right. And also there's another kind of aspect of UMAX as well that I think separates it from other crowdfunding platforms in terms of the fact that project creators must offer rewards in return for contributions by backers. So how do you execute the system, right? Like, because I think on Kickstarter you can, like, if you reach a certain tier of if you pay a certain amount, for example, you might get, but that's all kind of individually organized by the backers. But this is a must. So how does that work as a system?
So at the very beginning when we started, we only allowed project creators to say, oh, you must offer certain tangible rewards or service to their supporters. You know, actually, funny enough, after we tested this crowdfunding business for about a year and a half now, we just, I think, 2 months ago, we started a non-reward. So you don't always need to have a reward. You can just maybe choose a pure donation method. This is by testing, because a lot of people actually feedback. Again, this is about testing, startup testing their market and business model. At the beginning, we thought, if you need to run a crowdfunding project, you always need to give back something. Always have to give back something. But we realized from our experience that a lot of backers or slash donors, they don't actually want anything back. They really don't want anything back. They just want to support the project. They want to support the cause. So that's why we change and we develop a new model. So now creators can still set the reward, but they can also accept pure donation. This is really driven by business need. And honestly, I didn't expect this to happen when I first started the business.
Yeah, I think that's definitely interesting that I think in a way we often assume that people don't necessarily – that they won't back these projects unless, you know, in the form of a charity kind of, right?
Yeah.
But now throughout the course of time, you've seen that actually people do, you know, giving is enough.
Yeah.
Right, in a way. So I guess the kind of concept of giving that works both ways is that what they're getting back, I guess, is the – I don't know, the satisfaction of being able to support a project that they're convinced of, I suppose.
I think you're right. So when this is the passion part about UMAX. At the very beginning, I said when people look at crowdfunding, they always consider or associate it with Kickstarter, Indiegogo. You buy like tech gadgets and stuff like that. But when you look at the fundamentals and the real concept of crowdfunding, it's about a bunch of people supporting a common cause or a something that they want to be a part of. And we or UMAX don't want crowdfunding to be just associated with gadgets. Actually, a lot of social projects, a lot of community projects requires a group of people to support it and to bring this to life. And if you hold that concept now, if you believe crowdfunding, it's a way, it's a mean of which people come together and support something, you know, as a whole, then yes, giving back a creator, giving back tangible products, giving back tangible rewards, it's no longer the most important factor to encourage people to support something. Now, UMAX, after a period of time, we found that a lot of community projects can really benefit from crowdfunding. A lot of community, communal projects or campaign can really be supported by, you know, a crowd where actually crowdfunding encourages the crowd to participate, to engage on certain things. So yeah, that's what we believe now.
I see. All right. We'll be listening to some music for a bit, but when we come back, I'll be speaking to Richard Koh, founder and CEO of UMAX, about the range of products that you can find and also crowdfunding trends. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Breaking financial matters, BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, speaking to Richard Koh, founder and CEO of UMAX. Before we kind of get into a bit more specifics in terms of what is on UMAX, can you just elaborate a little bit on the project approval procedure as well?
Sure. So when a creator come to our website, they can find a lot of guidance of how to create a project, what information you need to enter prior to submitting. After you submit the project, then we have a team, our in-house team would firstly run a approval procedure. They will look at whether the project has contained certain information. For example, a lot of people forget about their budget. They forgot to include a budget plan. They forgot to include a project execution timeline. It's way more common than people thought. They just missed it out. They don't think it's important information. So my team would run that first and then make sure the project contains the right information and sufficient information. And then we would, and then the project would run through the second layer of approval, which I will look at it based on the plan, whether, first of all, whether it contains sufficient information and also whether the information submitted makes sense. So a lot of people actually, when they put the project timeline doesn't make sense. Doesn't, you know, it's whether too aggressive or sometimes the time has already passed when they put the timeline in. If I run it and it's okay, then it will go through the third layer where we would send it to an external party containing like professionals. Like we have CPAs, we have lawyers in the approval process. They look at the project from a more professional standpoint, whether it is legal. Anything illegal is not allowed at UMax, I'm afraid.
That seems quite reasonable of a standard to have, I think.
Yeah, and the second thing that they will look at is they will really look at it from a professional standpoint, whether the budget plan makes sense. Of course, sometimes it is subjective. And when they raise a question, we will always flow it back to the creator and make sure that they can answer the question in an adequate manner.
So it's all about promoting, again, the, you know, transparency, right? Making sure that every step of the way, you know, these projects are viable, right? And will and have a high likelihood of producing something that is actually tangible as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to say, and I can't say that crowdfunding, it's without any risk. Mm-hmm. I mean, I cannot say that, but we are trying to have an infrastructure and process to make sure that we look at it in the most professional manner that we can.
Right. Yeah. So what are some of the trends that you've seen in, you know, not only what creators will propose, but also what people will fund?
So this is very, very regional based. In the Western world, or where crowdfunding is the most popular in the US or in Europe, it is product design, gadgets, tech stuff that are most popular in their population. But, you know, when we look at Hong Kong and we look at Southeast Asia, funny enough, I don't agree that this is the type of project that really gets the most support. In Hong Kong, we found that a lot of community projects actually can raise huge amount of funds and gather huge amount of support. When we first started, we didn't know that. We didn't know that. We're trying to be very broad. We're trying to be, you know, we're open to every project. We still are. But then we realize in Hong Kong, certain type of project, community-related stuff, it's hugely popular. Especially, for example, in Hong Kong, animal welfare projects are hugely popular. People look at it and they will really support. And we're helping good animal welfare NGOs, charities to do good things. I believe in other Southeast Asia countries, in different countries, you have a particular theme that people will support because culture is different. And people, you know, day to day, they look at different stuff that consider as important to them. So, for example, in Malaysia now, we believe community related projects would be the right direction. But we haven't actually fixed a certain criteria, like which type of community project will be the best. We actually are still testing. And after we test a while, we will realize what is considered as a popular topic, popular genre in this country. And then we might focus more energy towards those stuff.
Right.
So I think one thing that, you know, after I started this business, the culture, cultural diversity is something that really hits me as a factor that I have to really take into consideration when I further develop the business.
It's really interesting that you bring up that kind of differentiation when it comes to different countries, because one thing that I've noticed is that on the Hong Kong UMax, right, there are quite a few successfully funded projects, but with the Malaysian side so far, also because it's relatively new, but it hasn't been as successful. Yeah. And this is not just applying to UMAX as well. Mm. This is applying to any sort of local platform. For some reason, Malaysians don't seem to want to support Malaysian ideas. Mm. So how will you approach, you know, breaking past that barrier in thinking?
I think success stories, case studies would definitely be, you know, one thing that our platform would need to do before we can, you know, kickstart the business here. In Hong Kong, I saw a similar issue at the very beginning when we started in Hong Kong. Crowdfunding wasn't, you know, hugely popular. And even now, I won't say this is like crazy popular in Hong Kong. But once you get that successful case study out there, people of similar industry or similar interest would then, oh, wow, look at it. And they saw, maybe I can try with the power of social media. Of course, they, you know, these type of successful stories, they can spread very fast.
Yeah.
And what we found is in Hong Kong, once you get that project out there and it's successful, then people will gradually adopt it. I mean, I'm from Hong Kong. I can't speak for Malaysian, but I believe in Malaysia, this is still the same model that we should pursue. Find that right project, you know, be open on the way you choose the first successful projects.
So in a way, the only way to break the barrier is to break the barrier, right? Is to have that one initial breakthrough.
Yes.
And then from there, you can use that in order to encourage other people to and show them, you know, this is a successful model. This is something that is worth your time and your money.
Keep testing. I think that's the real, I mean, that's, you know, we've been preaching this to the team as well. Just don't afraid to test things. Don't be afraid to test new industry. Don't be afraid to test new type of projects.
So when it comes to certain projects, like, do you just approve the project and then let the creator kind of do what they want? Or is there some sort of monitoring system in terms of like their progress with the project and things like that?
So even before the project is launched in the platform, we will always contact the creator and give them advice or strategy as to how they should, you know, shape their project content during the project. During the project, actually, promotion is one thing that is super important for crowdfunding, but actually a lot of people kind of neglect it. So the sort of thing that we would, you know, encourage our creator to do or consistently give them advice is how to promote your campaign consistently across the whole period. And at the same time, we would, you know, we can call that monitoring. We would look at whether the creator is doing enough to promote their project. And we will always make sure that we contact them and give them advice on that. And even after the project, for example, we would still contact the creator. Because firstly, you need to tell people that you successfully funded. And second is going back to the delivery of their reward. If the creator kind of, you know, delay on their reward delivery, you know, UMAX will always take the initiative to contact the creator.
So there is a sense of supervision, I guess, right? There's a kind of constant, you know, checking in and also making sure about the follow through from your side as well to ensure that the project creator is actually, you know, delivering. I'm just kind of wondering a little bit about, you know, have there been any cases where, you know, that's kind of fallen through, where a project creator has, let's say, maybe got kind of nonchalant about their project suddenly and they've, you know, how do you deal with obstacles like that?
So, yes, there was once. No, I'm not going to name any, like, specific projects, but what happened was the reward didn't come through at the end. I mean, because of technical reason, you know, the machine failed and the product didn't come through. I think it's still delaying.
Okay.
What happened was we would, you know, keep constant conversation with the creator and make sure that he is at least communicating this issue to their supporters.
Yeah, transparency again.
Yeah, it's transparency. It's, you know, be open. I mean, again, crowdfunding is not without risk. If you if you're crowdfunding for a product, especially, you know, the product might fail. Like a lot of things in your life, right? I mean, there's always risk. But at least be transparent about it. Tell people that you can't deliver your project.
I see. So in cases like that, it's all about communication and about clarity and making sure that, you know, if there is anything that goes wrong, you know, so what I kind of find interesting about UMX is that there's always a kind of precautionary aspect to each step, mm-hmm. right? So first of all, there's a minimum, like there's a two-tier aspect where, you know, you have your minimum, you can kickstart it, but you also need like that extra bit, like you have that space, that range yeah. to work in. So that gives the project creator some security as well. Then you have, you know, the vetting process and the approval process where it goes through those three steps. And then even so, even throughout the process of the project, you know, being funded and being, you know, promoted and stuff, there's always a constant line of support, essentially, throughout. So yes. it always feels, you know, as we've kind of discussed briefly, that, you know, even though crowdfunding is a platform that is, you know, again, not without risk, you are trying to find the steps where you can eliminate
yes.
that and try to provide as much security as you can.
I think crowdfunding between, say, the Western world and, you know, say, Asia,
yeah.
there's one difference I see. It's the sense of risk-taking, you know, how I do believe that Western people are kind of more risk-loving. They're not, they won't be stopped easily by taking some risk. As opposed to, it's nothing wrong about it, but we are generally, I believe, Asian, have a more risk-adverse attitude. We are more cautious with every step that I take. You know, we are more cautious whether the project is, you know, legit or not.
Yeah.
So in that sense, UMX is trying to make sure that we have that infrastructure. But at the same time, we're open about the risk, but we always make sure that we do our right part to ensure, you know, even if there is risk, it is regulated and monitored.
Right. Yeah. I think that's definitely true. I think there is a kind of, you know, with kind of Western culture, you know, the higher the risk, the higher the reward, almost in a way,
I think so,
that kind
yeah.
of mentality. Whereas here it's a bit more about, you know, okay, let's see the potential consequences of this action and, you know, will the pro be higher than the con, right? Yeah. So I think that's definitely worth noting about specifically a crowdfunding platform in Asia as well.
A funny thing to share, actually,
okay.
before I start the startup, maybe nothing related to crowdfunding, just about startup. You know, I studied in the UK. A lot of Western friends asked me, hey, because they know I'm starting like a crowdfunding startup, right? So they asked me, hey, all the question they ask me is how I can, you know, keep expanding, you know, my platform, how to, you know, expand the concept of crowdfunding amongst people. They don't talk about the risk as much, but my Asian friends, my Hong Kong friends, all they ask me, well, at least the majority of the question I get is, it is risky, you know? You know, actually, it's you know, people will think you're fake. People will think you're not legit. You're not going to deliver the project. All the question I get is how I can make sure
right.
that projects are regulated, how people can get their refunds back. I mean, we are talking about refunds before we even think of starting a new thing. This really hits me before I started my business. And it's something that I always remember.
So even you know, among your peers, you can see that mentality shift as well.
Totally different.
So I think that's really important to keep in mind. So just very briefly, looking, you know, towards the future, you know, what does UMX have planned next?
We are definitely, our goal is always to be the regional, so Asian crowdfunding platform. We have a local team in Malaysia looking after Southeast Asian region and Hong Kong, Taiwan as well. You know, of course, our plan now, because Malaysia has this market with enough population, so we are planning to really attack this market and make sure that we can expand and consolidate our platform in this country
right.
first. So we are now going to hold back a little bit about continuous expansion in different countries, but make sure that we can really consolidate what we already have, what we already set up in this country, and then you know, find the right successful stories, and then develop the concept of crowdfunding in this country. When people start to believe that crowdfunding is the way to go forward, if they need a group of people to support their cause, then, you know, we will then consider again expanding to new countries.
All right. And on that note, that's about all the time we have. Thank you so much for coming on our show as well.
No
it's
problem.
Been lovely speaking to you.
Thank you.
This is Enterprise on BFM. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.